welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord, we're able to be together again. I'm so glad you were able to join me and made time in your schedule today. I'm sharing a message from, actually it's 2 Corinthians, that first chapter, talking about the God of all comfort. And as we ended yesterday's broadcast, I was sharing the definition of comfort. Let me just by review give it again. Comfort in the noun form means strengthening aid or assistance, support, consolation in the time of trouble or worry. And also, it's a feeling of relief or encouragement, contented well-being. The verb form to comfort someone means to give strength and hope to cheer, to ease the grief or trouble of. And this marvelous passage that describes God the Father as being the God of all comfort. Our Heavenly Father is the source and the resource of everything that will bring peace and ease and comfort to us in the most difficult and trying of life's situations. Now, none of us are interested in platitudes, right? We don't want pious phrases. We want realities. And the reality of being comforted and to be comfortable seems to be almost more delightful than any other thing in life. We can all relate to something comfortable. Ladies, you know, if you were wearing high-heeled shoes, you get home and slip into your slippers. That feels really comfortable, doesn't it? Or a brother, you've worked hard all day, or perhaps, you know, out in the yard on the weekend, and you come in to sit in your easy chair. That's, we've had comfort in that, stretching out on the couch after a hard day's work, relaxing in an easy chair. Or perhaps a little child cuddling in a parent's lap after a fall or misfortune. Or times that we may have had a painful illness when we've begun to recover and be able to stretch our limbs and get up out of bed and open our eyes without pain. Well, we've had comfort then, isn't that right? Also, when someone we dearly love has been ill, sometimes maybe even to the point of death, and been restored to health again, we've had comfort. You just breathe a sigh of relief. Praise God. God has touched and ministered and healed. And how many times a sigh of relief that we can just give as we've experienced our burdens laid down or a particularly hard task having been accomplished, we've all experienced comfort. And so I know that you can relate and identify what it means to be comfortable. And in that word comfortable, it comprises more of rest and relief and satisfaction and pleasure than perhaps any other word in the English language. There's no other word that can so express what we are the emotions and the mental remembrance of what it is to be comfortable. And so if we can understand the meaning of this name of God, the God of all comfort, the Father of all comfort, if we could really grasp and lay hold of that, how blessed we would be. How many times, on the other hand, have we allowed unbelief to rob us of that blessed peace and assurance? God's word is an antidote, beloved, for all the ills of human life. In Isaiah, the 66th chapter, in verse 12, listen to what The Lord says, "For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." I have to read verse 14. "And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies." What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Note the "as" and the "so" in this passage. "As one whom his mother comforted, so I will comfort you." It's real comfort that's meant here. It's not some, you know, a symbolic sense of future contentment. It's real. The sort of comforting that a child could feel when it's born on its mother's knees, carried on her side. How many of us have actually believed that God's comforting is actually as tender and true as a mother's comforting, or even half or a quarter as real? Instead of thinking of ourselves as being dandled on his knees and hugged to his heart, as mothers would do a child, how many of us have been inclined to look upon our Father as a stern, unbending judge, holding us at a distance and demanding our respectful homage, critical of our slightest faults? And beloved, that's because our backgrounds, our upbringing, some of the experiences we've had, especially early in life, have left their mark upon us. And so our understanding of our Heavenly Father, the God of all comfort, needs to be transformed. We need to change that image. Now, as I said on previous broadcasts, you know, we can intellectually affirm something. I know God is a God of love. I know God loves me. But then on an emotional level, as I said, there's a disconnect. We don't experience that. We don't feel loved. We feel that we're not worthy. We feel that we fail God. We feel that we're falling short. We feel that we're not good enough. I know I'm talking to some folks out there. And so the God who exists is the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father. He's the God who so loved the world that he sent his Son, not to judge the world, but to save it. He's the God who anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to comfort all that mourn in Zion. That's what Isaiah 61 and 2 says, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That he might be glorified. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. He takes pleasure when we're rejoicing, when we're happy, when we are not questioning his love and his care for us. And that is even more precious to him when in the time of trouble, in the time of affliction, in the valley of desolation, in the valley of weeping, we can say, "My God is good, and he is going to bring me through." What a wonderful, powerful testimony that is, that we don't have to be cast down, but that he will comfort those who mourn. He will. Your Father loves you, beloved, and Jesus cares. He's to care for and comfort all who mourn. That's his divine mission from the Father. I just read it. So as you're listening to me right now, you might feel so cast down that you can hardly lift up your head. But the apostle is telling us that he is the God that comforted those that are cast down. That's in 2 Corinthians 7:6. Paul specifically said, he comforteth those that are cast down. In that specific instance, he was referring to the comfort they received by the coming of Titus. So thank God that our Comforter is not far off in heaven where we can't find him. He's close at hand and He abides with us, praise God. How many times I've had the experience, you know, and come on, I know, I doubt that any one of you consistently every day jump out of bed in the morning and say, praise God, it's a glorious, beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. We don't do that consistently, do we? And there are times I've kind of been grousing in the morning, you know, I'm slow waking up, and you could sense the Holy Spirit prompting with some kind of joyful thought, and I finally get the message, okay, Lord, you're right, and start putting on a different mental expression and attitude. Beloved, God's grace is sufficient because of what Jesus did. Amen. Well, I know so many of you could be hurting right now, and it's I don't make light of it, because I know what it is to experience sorrow and heartache. In fact, recently I've been going through some files, and I ran across a prophetic word that I received. It was in, actually, 1992. My husband and I were still active in our minister's fellowship. My husband was in leadership for about 10 years. And, beloved, I know what it is to fight depression and discouragement, to feel alone, to feel like God is a million miles away. And even though I've rejoiced in seasons of blessing, it's been my experience, there are also seasons of want. And yet I'm absolutely convinced of our divine inheritance, which includes restoration and fullness of joy as we see God's hand and purpose on the events of our lives. But anyway, this is very personal, but the brother gave me this prophetic word in part. He said, you're someone who's known some real hurt and disappointment and have come under some real fire from evil tongues, trying to always just bring your spirit down, because you know what? You're a bubbly lady. You've got a lot of joy, a lot of love. And when you see someone in need, people don't understand this about you. They wouldn't even know this about you. You get a stab right in your heart. You hate to see people hurting. There's going to come a day when God is going to use you in such a marvelous way to lay hands on the broken, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually, and the outcast, those who have been outcast in the body of Christ. I see God using you to bring healing. So why do I share this, beloved? Because I know, if nothing else, God's allowed me to experience so many things to be able to relate to the sufferings of God's people and to declare God's grace and deliverance. Beloved, it's my privilege to stand as a partner in prayer with you. And so, as the announcer gives our contact information, I invite you to write and know that I will pray with you, and you'll be blessed by what God gives to send back to you. Thank you for joining me, and we'll continue right on tomorrow. And I look forward to having you join me then. God bless you. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.